Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, hi there, hi there. You are listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. I'm so glad you're here. I am Ellen Hartwell, your host. I'm about to introduce you or reintroduce you to my incredible co-host. But first, you know what I'm going to say. You think you do, but you really don't. You really don't know what I'm going to say. Okay, you kind of do. Please wash your hands. Social distance, essential visits. We are not out of this yet. Wear two masks, they're saying. So really protect yourself and others. You don't want to get this. You don't want to get a variant. You just want to just deal with COVID fatigue and all that comes along with that and protect yourself and others. Two masks, wash your hands, wear gloves, wash your hands, social distance. And at the end of the day, you're going to be very glad you followed protocol, because then it is less likely that you or a loved one or a stranger will get sick. So please do that, okay? I am. So do it with me, okay? I appreciate that. And so does everyone else. Believe me, we're not out of the woods yet. Let's not be lulled into thinking, oh, we got this. We're making progress, but we're not there yet. So wash your hands, wear gloves, wash your hands, wear two masks, social distance, and essential visits. Let's all do that and step on this nasty cockroach of a virus, huh? Okay, so are you laughing, John? That's my co-host, my fabulous friend, funny. Sometimes he cracks me up, and he's very interesting. I learn a lot from him. How are you today, John Warren?
Ah, what a kind thing to say. What a kind introduction. I learned so much from you too, Ellen. I am dandy. I will just say, we talked in the green room. I'll just chime in really quickly and say, yes, this variant is real. And if you don't, I don't care if you're an anti-masker. It does, you know what I mean? Like, don't listen to us is really the answer to that. This variant, and I think you said Brazil and South Africa, but there is a variant that is it's the same amount of deadliness, which is much more than a regular flu, just for the record, but it is much more contagious, and they are recommending two masks, and that this is, if it tracks like 1920, we have been through this before, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, that there will be one more surge is what they're expecting in the U.S., and we need to be careful at least for a few more months. And you know what? It's just another mask. I'll stop whining about it and just put on our extra mask. If you're not saving yourself, you're possibly saving someone else. And what a fine feeling that is. And metaphysically speaking, I will say, if you spread this virus, you may not know it now, but you will find out on the day you transition to Epcot, as Ellen calls it. You will find out if you harm someone else. So let's find out that we did the right thing and we protected all of the people in our surroundings, including ourselves. Wear two masks. What the heck? I have a Dodgers one. I have one that is the Portuguese flag, which I think is beautiful. Put on two. Come on. Be cool. That's the end of my spiel about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right, John. I second that, third that, and tenth that, and let's all do it, and we'll come out of this in much better shape personally and also spiritually. So let's just do it and quit whining about it and just do it. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes this situation. But if we all band together and do the right thing, we will have a far better outcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Okay. Today's topic is, to whom are you praying, and what is prayer anyway? Been thinking a lot about that lately and learning different things within myself, what works for me, what doesn't. And it doesn't matter if you are, oh, wait a minute, I'm wrong. We're not doing that this week. I am so sorry. That is next week. This week is spirit confidence. They kind of go together. How do we get to be spiritually confident? How do we do that? Well, we can't trust something we haven't seen demonstrated. We're all like that. You are. I am. I don't believe it until I see it or have some sense of it. So being spirit confident is so important, because without that, we're missing a component in our lives, in our manifestations. We're missing something. So how do we become confident about spirit. Well, yes, John, practice, 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 of course. But what actually is that? What am I trusting when I say I trust spirit? I am spirit confident. I am God confident. And it doesn't matter if you call God Brahma, the great Holy Spirit, Allah. It doesn't matter. We'll just use spirit because that covers it all. How do I become confident with spirit? Well, first I have to have some idea of what spirit is to me. Is it some ethereal rainbow in the sky? No, it is a creative force, a divine intelligence, a presence for me. See, my dog agrees. And if we don't have that, if we don't have some sense of higher power, higher self, authentic self, something, then we don't really know what we're talking about when we say we want to be spirit confident. So how I do it, and I hope this helps, but I may not be confident about just a small situation, like what am I going to do about and fill in the blank. Well, I check in with myself. I might talk to somebody I trust. But I also look for guidance from a power that I cannot see but I believe is there. What is the best solution to this pressing moment? What is the best way I can handle this? And the more I do it, the more guidance I get, and therefore I'm able to have that spirit confidence because I see it work out well. So I'll take something small, like what do I do when I don't know how to upload this thing on the internet? Well, Ellen, just click a button. Yeah, for you, for me it's more complicated. So, yeah, I'll get information from wherever I can get it. And then I kind of look within. Is that right? Does that fit? Yes, it does. Okay, click, click. So even in small things in your life, if you try something different or new, depending on your spiritual insight, you will find that it works, not once in a while, not sometimes, but every single time. I was faced with a situation this week. I don't know what to pray for here. A loved one, very ill, and is okay now, thank you, God. But how do I handle that? Within myself, what do I pray for? How do I handle this situation? Because I was pretty messy about it and pretty upset. Well, yeah, I talked to the people I trust, and then I went within myself where my spirit dwells, within and around me, always working on my behalf, and I go, what is the best answer here? And what popped right out was pray for perfect healing. And I went, oh, yeah, duh. That works, perfect healing. I didn't say cure, I said healing. And so I began to pray for the perfect healing of this individual and those individuals that love this person. And it gave me the peace I needed to get through some very touch-and-go scary days. It gave me a sense of, okay, this is going to come out perfectly. I may not agree with the outcome in my flesh, but I know it will come out perfectly. And it did. It did. Even though I had some scary moments, I kept going, okay, pray for perfect healing. Pray for perfect healing. And I did. And whether the outcome had been life or death, I would have had peace about it because I was praying for perfect healing. Not what I necessarily want, but what is best for this person's trajectory and journey right now. Perfect healing. Okay. And I do it on little things and I do it on bigger things like that. And I'm coming to learn, I haven't learned, I am learning that depending on that inner still small voice, that sense of something within me that is greater than me, not only is always there and I can rely on it, but I can depend on the information I get from that. As long as I don't put my own thinking in it. Yeah, but I want this. Well, you may want that. But what is the best answer for this? And it always comes down to what is the best outcome for this thing that you want or this thing you want for somebody else? What is the best outcome? And then that confidence comes up. Yeah, the best, absolutely fabulous outcome is what is going to work for me and mine. And do you know it works every time? Even though it may take a different form than I think, it may take a different path than I thought I'd be walking down. But there it is. And if I trust that, I have confidence. Now, people think, you know, that I'm a very outgoing person, not afraid to speak my mind and all that. And that's true. There's truth to that. But it comes from spirit confidence. Does not. I'm actually a fairly shy person. I'm actually quite a bit introverted. And I transcend that by becoming spirit confident. As you all know by now, I work a psychic line. And in working that, the phone rings, you take the call, and you talk to the person, right? And there's never a time where my heart doesn't go pitter-patter, pitter-patter, a little bit of nervousness. And the day I don't have that will be the day that I hang up the phone and don't pick it up again. Why? Because I know that I am depending on a power greater than myself to guide me as I guide other people. It's not just me. It's a combination of me and spirit. And as I trust that and depend on that, my insight is clearer. My sense of which way are you going here is clearer. And my ability to be non-judgmental is right there, because this isn't my path, it's yours. You do whatever the heck you want, and I'll guide you as best as I can. I'll tell you what I see coming up as best as I can. But at the end of the day, it's your decision, and I am not invested in that decision. I'm invested in your happiness, yes. But if you make decisions that are going to bring on some hurt and pain, okay, then that's what you're going to do. But I have given you my best guidance coming from the spirit within. And the more I do that and the more I practice that, the more I'm able to be spirit confident. Now, I'm not cutting myself out from that. I'm not. But the persistence of spirit in its endless, infinite creation is always in there working and trying to get me to listen to it. Now, I'm stubborn as a bulldog, and sometimes I don't listen. And I can tell you, when I don't listen, it doesn't go as well as when I do. And it's not necessarily in words the guidance that comes and makes me spiritually confident. It might be an image. It might be something I hear. It might be something that somebody else says, or a strong feeling, a newage, as I call it. But spirit is always there to guide, to instruct, to support, to help, to show. The truth always reveals itself, and spirit can only be truth. And so I depend on that truth to emerge and show itself to me in some way for myself and for others. Without that spiritual confidence, I'd probably be writing terrible books in some corner somewhere, because that's my comfort zone. I can write a little bit, and I can hide behind my wall very easily. But that wasn't the path that spirit wanted me on. And so being spiritually confident means, okay, I may be a bit uncomfortable with this. I may not feel quite up to this. That's fine, but spirit is. And so spirit and I join together, and a confidence forms that allows me to think for a minute before I say something, allows me to be a good listener, believe it or not. I know I'm talking like I'm on meth, which I'm not, but I'm trying to fill in a lot in a short period of time. But it allows me to be a very good listener. And people will say, you have anything to say? Yeah, I do. I was waiting for you to be done. Oh, okay. I try to be a good listener. I try not to interrupt. I work at being able to reflect a patient and loving and non-judgmental spirit. And the more I practice that, the more confidence I have in that. And guess what? The more my ability to actually be that is. Spiritual confidence is a very important thing. And maybe you don't use it every day, but exercising that muscle. Do it in little things. You'll find you'll do it in bigger things, and you will have a sense of, okay, whatever comes down the pike, I'll deal with it, and it's going to be good sooner or later. So I'll deal with it with my wisdom and with my sense that there is a power greater than myself working on my behalf and instructing me every time I open my ears and listen, and I open my heart and listen, and I open my eyes and see. There is a sense, too, as we become more and more spiritually confident, of never being alone. People say, don't you get lonely? I go very, very rarely, because I know I'm not alone. I am confident in the creative spirit of the universe is always with me and around me. So, no, I'm very rarely lonely. It happens on occasion, but it's very rare because I know I'm always accompanied. I have that spiritual confidence that says I'm never alone. I may think I am. I may feel like I am, but if I take a moment and take a deep breath, I'm not alone. The very power that created these beautiful pine trees that I'm looking at the, on my back deck here is within me, always wanting to be heard, always wanting to be seen, always wanting to find the best expression for me and those with whom I have contact. So practice, practice. Start depending on your spiritual self and then combine that with your worldly or fleshly self. And I'm telling you, it'll change your life. Try it. You might like it. So be spiritually confident. Exercise that muscle. Next week is when we talk about what is prayer and to whom we are praying. It does go along with this because if you're praying and you don't know to whom you're praying, that's kind of like an echo. But we'll be talking about that next week. I am Ellen Hartwell, your host. And if you'd like to reach John Warren or myself, it's easy. Go to our website, ellenhartwell.com. And we'd love to hear from you. And thank you again for listening. Okay, John, let her rip, tater chip.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like you said everything I have to say, so we're good. Later.
Okay. Have a nice day.
You know what, Ellen? What's simple and elegant about this topic is, you know how you become spirit confident? The same way you become confident in anything is really what my take on this is, which is, of course, drum roll, please.
Practice, 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 practice.
And which is to say, and there's a saying in 12-step groups, which is fake it till you make it. And what that means is, and it's actually sort of a metaphysical rule that I don't think 12-step people are knowing that they're evoking, which is quite simply, you know, when we want to change something in our lives, we have to embody that something. And it's one thing to sort of do affirmations. It's one thing that affirmations get you to the airport. Maybe they get the plane to the runway. But the embodiment of the thing that you want is what makes the plane take off. It's what makes the thing out there change. Is when you start to embody the wealth or embody the new place or embody, you know, when you're living as a wealthier person, you watch the movie, the money will start flowing. What I mean by that is it's inside of you. It is there, and it is because, oh, I'm a wealthy person now. It doesn't matter if the exterior has changed 1 second, but once you start embodying that, then you're going to start seeing the wealth that's all around you, and then you're going to start creating more wealth. And it's going to start flowing to you because you've gotten out of the way of it. And in a way, spirit confidence is the same thing. It's a matter of looking at yourself and going, okay, how do I become confident in this? I practice, and I visualize the practice. And I'm a tennis fan. I'm a tennis nut. I watch tennis all the time. The Australian Open is happening right now, which is one of the Grand Slams. It's one of the four big, giant tournaments in the world. And so the best players are there. You can watch any of them. And what do they do to embody the perfect game of tennis or to get to the highest level of tennis? It's, you know, they practice. But part of that practice, and what's interesting about this, and I think it begins, it ties into spirit, what we're calling spirit confidence on this episode, is the visualization of how you respond to things happens before you're there. And talk to any one of them, and I promise you. I think tennis is sort of the perfect example of metaphysics in action. Talk to Rafa Nadal, who's one of the best tennis players that's ever lived. And he will, if you push him right, say he will visualize winning. He will visualize how to respond to this shot before he's on the court. Now, he's also on the court, but talk to any basketball players. They will visualize the free throw shot going in. And the perfect technique for the free throw shot. And I will say this to you, practicing, visualizing, being guided by that still small voice. And, you know, I'm going to say, I think that's a biblical term, Ellen. Correct me if I'm wrong. Voice. It always bugs me, though, I will say. Because if you practice this long enough, listening to that, being still and know that you're being guided. And if you don't believe in this, I'm not here to say to you that's okay too. What I will say to you is a little more radical, is that if you are a metaphysician and you want to practice creating your reality in conjunction with spirit, therefore becoming spirit confidence, if you don't believe in something greater than yourself, I will say to you quite bluntly, pretend that you do. You don't have to. Just pretend that you believe in something greater than yourself. Pretend there's something bigger going on here. Just as a matter of fun, just for fun, practice it, and then try and create something. Utilizing that force as it flows through you, you got to be humble to do this because you got to get out of the way for the most part. But to practice that and visualize it working out. You want a new fill in the blank. You want something to, or like even better. This is not I want. Ellen used the demonstration of a want that is, it is sort of more intimate and personal. I want to learn how to pray about someone who is sick, someone who's manifested a different kind of experience that I'm that's causing me, you know, stuff to come up in my life. Instead of, I want to be well. Well, I'm not sure. You know, yes, we want everybody to be well. What is the answer to that? Visualize, practice, listening to that still small voice. And I happen to know Ellen, so she's practiced this enough. Oh, wait a minute. It's perfect healing. That's what it is. That's the right answer. Now, that happens, and so that is opened at the top. So it doesn't interfere with whatever this loved one's experience maybe is going to be. But it's perfect healing. It puts everybody in their right place because there's nothing in the world or the universe that doesn't add up to that. And so practice that and listen to that still small voice. And that still small voice will always be in the background going, oh, this is the right answer. This is the right answer. This is where I'm headed. But I think honestly, to get spiritual confidence, to get to that point, it's a matter of sitting and practicing that almost every day in my case. There's rarely a day that passes where I don't go, and call it whatever you want to call it, where I'm not in the practice of, okay, I'm guided. Now, I don't have to fake it to believe that I'm being guided here, that there's something bigger going on. But there was a time, and there is recurring times that happen very rarely now, but they used to be regular, where my faith was gone. It just wasn't there. I'm on my own, and I can tell because I'm full of anxiety. I'm acting out in some way or another, yada, yada, yada. We all know when we are disconnected from the thing that drives us. We know it. And if you practice that, too, pay attention to that, you'll know when you're disconnected because you'll start ordering 6 pizzas or you'll start drinking or you will, and it's not because you want to have a drink. There will be a lot of reasons why you're disconnected, but sitting and practicing, and I'm glad we're talking about prayer next week, but that quiet voice, being quiet with yourself, I'm happy to call it meditation. The better version of it for me personally is just to call it sitting. I sit still for a certain amount of time every morning, and I just let my head go crazy, just gallops forward. It does whatever it does. But at about 6 minutes into my sitting, and it's not an hour. I'm not a Buddhist monk. I'm not a monk. It's 15 minutes maybe. But at some point in that process, I will become aware that my head is galloping forward and my thoughts are just going crazy. I got to take care of that and I should do that and I shouldn't have eaten that thing last week. And oh my gosh, I'm so annoyed with that person in that part of from when I was in high school. And like my head, your thoughts just gallop forward, or mine do. Mine gallop forward. And when I get to that point, I can actually sit. I can actually go, okay, there's something going on behind these thoughts. And I do it via prayer and meditation. Some people just do it via prayer. And that's fine, too. And when you get to the point where you can get behind your galloping thoughts and go, oh, wait a minute, then that's when you start to hear. In my experience with me and the experience of people, many people I've worked with, is that's when you get to where you can hear the still small voice, and call that whatever you want. I like Holy Spirit. I'm actually big on Holy Spirit this week, and sometimes I use God. I almost never use something outside of the tradition, the spiritual tradition I grew up with. But if you grew up with Allah or Shiva, is that right? then that's where you go. I mean, use that stuff. It doesn't matter. God, Holy Spirit doesn't care what language you speak. Thank goodness for that. And, or what tradition you come from, but I'm comfortable inside the tradition I grew up in. And so I'll use Holy Spirit because that's very Anglican. I grew up in an Anglican Episcopal household, and Holy Spirit always works for me. God sometimes works for me. The Christ, the living Christ, will work for me. I'll rely on that, and I can start relying on that. People in metaphysics will also just say your higher self, which is a way of saying you're the thing that's in you that's connected to the grand intelligence. You'll start hearing the still small voice that is your higher self, or the living Christ, or the Holy Spirit, or Allah, or whatever. And that will guide you. And here's an interesting thing that happens. It takes me a minute to get here in this show. But with 5 minutes left, I'll say an interesting thing that happens when you practice this. It's not just a matter. This is never in my book about being, like, you know, being better, you know, being good versus, you know, being less good. Well, it's not true. Sometimes it's about that. But usually it's about, like, no, you're working on ourselves. We're perfecting ourselves. We're going back home. This is a journey back home, and it's a fantastic journey because it keeps getting better and better and more interesting. One of the things that happens when we practice hearing that still small voice is, A, we will get guided in ways that are unexpected and almost all and always soul-satisfying in the end. There may be some turbulence before you get to the soul-satisfying part, but you will be guided. You will go, oh, my goodness, I'm so glad I didn't buy that house or make that move or date that man or that woman. I'm so glad. At the time, it seemed like a disaster that they wouldn't date me or that house wasn't available for purchase. But now I realize, oh, my goodness, this worked out the right way. That will happen. You will get more and more spirit confidence that that guidance is there. You have a guidance system. And two, you'll start getting random inspirations. This is how you know. This is how you know you are becoming more and more spirit confident. You will go, oh, that's a funny joke I should tell, or oh, I need to go over there this weekend. I didn't think of that. And then you do. You go on that little trip. Oh, yeah, I need to call that person back. Or, oh, that's the title of something that I want to write. You will start getting inspiration, and then you will be nudged along and nudged forward. And it is a nudging process in many ways. For most people, it's a nudging process. For most people, God doesn't come down from the mountaintop and give you 10 commandments etched in stone. Because it wouldn't work for most people. What will work is practicing, listening to that still small voice, and visualizing being guided by that still small voice. And I'll say it again, and practicing. And over time, like going to the gym, you will build muscle. But you don't go to the gym one day and say, okay, I'm fit, I'm done. I'll exercise on Tuesday, and that is the only time I will ever exercise in my life, and I will be fit forever. Now, unless you're genetically predisposed to that, that's not going to work. For most of us, this is a practice, and we get better at it and better at it and better at it and better at it. And way before you are a spiritual giant, I can say this from experience because I'm not, way before you will have an intuitive guidance system that is workable and working for you. Because let me tell you the last and final secret, and I think this is true, and it just occurred to me right now, is Holy Spirit, Allah, God, Shiva, the Christ consciousness, whatever it is that you think, your higher self, really, 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 really wants you to get out of your own way so that you can expand. That's really what the truth is. God wants you as much as you want God. But God so loves us that he allows us to discover ourselves. Why? Because it is a much more richer and evolving experience than if somebody just hands it to us on a silver platter. We are here to make the discovery. So practice listening to that still small voice. And I have a feeling, I'm not sure, but my hunch is that next week Ellen is going to give us techniques, and I'm going to expand on those techniques with my take. But practice, practice, practice. You are being guided now, whether you know it or not. Just listen in. Listen in to it. End of rant. That is all I have to say.
Good, because we're out of time, John. That was magnificent, as usual. Thank you for listening. Wear two masks. Practice social distancing. Wear gloves. Wash your hands. Behave. Be mature. And listen. Listen.